Good morning and welcome to Peach Talk. This is our town. I'm Chris Johnson, your host, and in the studio with me this morning is my special guest, Mr. Derek Scott. And Derek, we're around for round two with you again. You were with us a few weeks ago, and we ran out of time and didn't complete the project that we kind of had on it. And I kind of got a suspicion we may not complete it today, so we're probably looking for round three, even on the same street.
How you doing this morning? Good, good. Good to be here, Chris.
A few weeks ago, we decided you and I would start up on 2nd Avenue on the west side of town and go east and just talk about some of the history of some of the places on 2nd Avenue and what used to be there back before mine and your time and through my time and your time and what's there now. And we made it, we started over at the Sinclair Service Station and across the street at the old church and the old hotel and down past the old theater and the old skating rink and shoe shop and crossed the railroad track through both feed stores and started up the hill. And I think we wound up somewhere about the alleyway.
We got to the alley. That's right. We and, we mentioned the ice plant in the back. Yeah, and that's kind of where we stopped.
Down the alley was the ice plant. And before that, it was the power plant for Clanton, where Clanton's first electric company was. And that's where the generating plant was located, down that alley, which is now is the public parking lot for events going on downtown. A lot of people don't realize that parking's back there because it's kind of out of sight, but it's pretty convenient to get through if you're going to something downtown to pull down and park in behind Jones Seed and Feed and behind Clinner Furniture Rental and what else is along that street there, the music store, and back behind that there's
7th Street,
pretty good parking lot in that alleyway, and easy access to walk up the alley between beside Frozen Goat to 31 or down between Rustic Relics and the other building there that we left off at.
I think Rustic Relics would be the next building, which I know mostly as Watson's.
Yep. And that was that we know it as Watson's growing up, and then it became Bennett's. But before Watson's, it was also had a couple of names that some people kind of associate and kind of say, "Wow!"
But it was a David Lee's for a short time, and it was called the Parisian store. For a short time.
Not to be confused with the big Parisian store that was in Birmingham.
It wasn't part of that chain, I don't think.
Different chain of Parisian, but Parisians and then David Lee's. I remember vaguely it being a David Lee's before Watson's. Right. And then I remember Watson's well, needless to say, and I remember Bennett's well.
Right, and I understand that before that, it was a series of small storefronts, and Mr. Bennett ended up purchasing all that and took the walls out, and it became the big quarter of a block pretty much that we were in.
And I have no idea what was on down between the alley and the corner. I know the David Lee's was originally the corner building, and I'm sure there was something that was probably in the other part of the building.
There was a Kemp's. W.A. Kemp's had a store there. Okay. My dad has told stories of going there with his dad to buy a certain type of overalls from Mr. Bulldog Kemp, which was the son of W.A., who I think started it.
Okay.
And I believe an Alabama Power office was in there for some time, and some other stores were in there. I don't know them all.
Could have been. far back as I go, Alabama Power was on 6th Street.
Right. That's right.
And that's taking it back a ways there.
One interesting thing, the very corner of that block there, the corner, was, I believe, the original Elmore's that predated the Five and Dime. And Mr. Elmore had a right-hand man, an older gentleman, Sarter, who had run businesses in town and been part of the Clanton Bank, which that's a whole other story we could talk about sometime. And while Mr. Elmore went to World War I, Mr. Sarter ran the store, and when Mr. Elmore got back a few years later, he started the Five and Dime in another building, and Mr. Sarter ended up running that store and changed the name and continued that corner.
So a precursor to what we know as Elmore's.
Right. He had been a businessman before the Five and Dime.
Okay. So that gets us up to the corner of 7th Avenue and 2nd Avenue at the what is now Rustic Relics, which is a flourishing business in Clanton right now. So I'm going to get in trouble because if I try to describe what Rustic Relics is, because I will make the wrong thing on. It's a little bit of everything. They have antiques, they have new stuff, they have a large variety of things, and it's divided up into little small segments that are consignment vendors, I guess would be the proper way to say that. And so if you hadn't been in Rustic Relics, you need to check it out. The folks that operate that are some fantastic folks. They're real active in the Merchants Association and things that go in the community and own in the community in downtown. And so stop by and see them if you haven't been in Rustic Relics. You'll find you better take some money and plan on spending it, because you're going to find something in there that you want to buy.
Right.
All right, well, let's cross across the street and go back down to the alley and kind of work our way back up the other side. Now, we may have come a store or two past last time, but let's just back up to the alley. On the what would be the east side of the alley, on the north side of 2nd Avenue, between the railroad and Highway 31, as we come up to the first little store there, which is now the Bice's clothing store, and it is Buck's. There we go.
Right.
Had to get that Bice name, then Buck came to the name, because Buck was down at the feed store for many, many, many years. A lot of folks remember Buck Bice. He was a close friend of my dad, and they had coffee just about every morning, I think, in their latter years, both of them. But Neil and his son Joe runs that now, and they have the building that's right next to the alley, which was that the building that was the magazine stand bookstore?
The building right beside the alley on the east side was Miss Ransom or Helen Parrish's mother's magazine store.
Yeah,
that's how I remember it, and it was that for a very long time, I believe.
Newsstand. A lot of folks, mine your age, bought comic books in there.
Lots
we
of
could
them.
Scratch up an extra 15 cents. And she had, of course, she had soft drinks and chips in there, if I remember right, as well. And
then it was then Bell Hardware was the next one.
Bell Hardware was the next one. Look, Mr. Jimmy Bell. Everybody remembers Mr. Jimmy Bell. And a lot of folks remember the mailbox that was out front, because he had a mailbox strapped to the... I guess it was strapped to the parking meter post. And that's another thing, we talk about parking meters downtown Clanton. But it had a mailbox that was stuck up about 10, 15 foot up in the air and had air mail written
air
on
mail.
The side of
that's
it.
That's right.
And, of course, everybody remembers Bell Hardware's famous saying, if we don't have it, you don't need it.
That's right.
Or you probably didn't need it or whatever. But anyway, Mr. Jimmy Bell, I remember going in there as a child and... He'd go up that little ramp back up to his office that went up towards the back door in his office.
Right.
Back on the left back there. I remember going in there with my granddad. And he said, come here, son. And we walked up that ramp to his office. And he handed me $0.50, I think, and said, here you go.
Yep.
I said, I want you to have this. You're a good boy. So, everybody remembers Mr. Jimmy Bell. And then later on, his son, Henry, and... Judy operated it. They came back and picked up and operated the store for many years as well. Judy's actually my sister-in-law, so Henry was my brother-in-law.
Okay.
That's my wife's oldest sister, was Judy. So, and dad-in-law worked there a little while also. But spent a lot of time in and out of Bell Hardware buying stuff,
right.
Because
right.
he did have about anything that you'd want to need if you were building something or working on something.
Well, Daddy ran Scott Plumbing, Love Supply,
yeah.
So I didn't go into Bell Hardware very often.
I remember going into Scott's as well.
Yeah.
Of course, they weren't there quite as early as Bell was. They were kind of later on. In fact, that's where my first business was at, was in your dad's building, which was the north east corner of the old Scott building, supply building. We rented that when we started J&W Communications in 1983. That was our first location there on Pine Street.
We're
getting way off 2nd Avenue, though, so let's get back downtown.
Yep, yep.
Bell Hardware, then you coming on up from Bell Hardware, the next next store up was
Levine's
Dry Goods store. And that's a very special building, kind of in the life of the folks here at WKLF, because the upstairs of that building, that's a two-story building. That's the next two-story building besides the one next to the railroad as you come up the street. That building was where WKLF went on the air, either the day before or the day after Thanksgiving. That's still a question there. In 1947.
Right.
And what's super, super interesting is the upstairs of that building is still laid out just like it was in 1947. I had the opportunity to go up there and poke around and hope to get a chance to go back. Wall covering's not as it was, and there's no glass in the windows, but the window openings from the control rooms to the studios and to the big open room where there's a stage, and the stage is still there. That we've got some pictures in our lobby here, some folks singing and doing things on that stage. So it's real interesting. I understand it has just been sold, and the person that bought it, if I heard my rumor correctly, is wanting to restore the upstairs back to what it looked like, which I was tickled to death to hear that, and I hope that is factual.
That would be good.
And make a little bit of a kind of a radio museum / recording studio up there. So I hope that rumor was true. Of course, you can hear all kind of rumors in Clanton. But that's that building. I don't know what was there prior to 1947, and
I can tell you a few things. It was built by Tipton Mullins, a lawyer in town, and it was his when it was a wooden frame building that burned in 1901. We talked about that some last time. And he rebuilt it as the brick store we know in about 1901. And it's had lots of mostly general purpose stores in there. I think maybe Broadheads and Sons was in there. Just general purpose, general merchandise kind
you
of stores.
You got any idea what time, what year Doc Levine actually opened up Levine's in there?
I believe he came in the mid-30s. He and his brother at Saul opened it. I don't think Saul stayed around very long, but... it was in the mid-30s, and he had been helping out at the store up the street called Mazer's. We'll get there in a minute, which was there for a while, and he split off and started that business on his own.
I remember buying shoes and clothes in there as a
shoes, especially
a bit of child, especially shoes. And I remember Doc Levine. He lived up on 10th Street, kind of catty corner across from where my grandparents, the Whites, lived up on 10th Street. Some nice folks up in that neighborhood. The Diefendurfers, one of our former mayors, lived on the corner, and Doc Levine lived right behind the Diefendurfers, and then the Clinners were on the other corner, which is now where Louise Pitt still lives in her grandfather's house there, and a lot of prominent folks lived in that area. The old Pipes house was across from Doc Levine's, and I grew up in that neighborhood. Spent a mini mile on the bicycle and dragging a wagon around some of those sidewalks up in there. All right, let's get back downtown. We got back off track again. It's too easy to get off track when you start talking about Clanton and its rich history and people that were a part of Clanton.
Yeah, it's if we move to the next one, it's the two-story on the corner there. In the 70s or so, it was Lorch's Diamond Store. Now it's, just sold, but it was a pawn shop. Southern Valley.
Yeah.
Before that, most people older than us know it as
I'm old Big enough. Four I Hardware. Remember Big Four Hardware being
right. And it was a hardware store before that, and I believe it's probably been a hardware store all its whole life, and it is perhaps the oldest building in town that I know, store building. It was built, I believe, in 1898. So it's... Yeah. It's the only building I'm sure of.
It survived the fire, huh?
It did. It was the only one on the block that survived it because it was the only brick building. Okay. So, but it started in the building right beside him, I believe, and went all the way down to the train station. So it's probably the oldest building in town. The oldest one I've found any hard dates on in my digging around.
Okay. And it's always pretty much been a hardware store. Up to it became a jewelry store and...
Mr. Sampy owned a lot of that corner and behind it there, and his, I believe, son-in-law was E.M. Pinkard. And that's if you see some of the old postcards, you'll see it as Pinkard's Hardware. As you can see it painted on the side of the building.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and then after that, it was a couple of others, and then it was Big Four.
All right. Well, time to cross over Highway 31. So let's wait on the light to change so we don't get run over.
All right.
And we'll slide across Highway 31. You want to start on the north side or the south side?
We're at Pinkers. Let's cross over to the what was Up Churches for most of our
right, which
lifetime.
Is now Moreland's Fine Jewelry and Gifts.
Right,
I don't remember it any further back than Up Churches.
It was built for Up Churches.
It was built for Up Churches. Okay, so it has always been a drugstore from its infancy up until the time it became a clothing store. I guess after Up Church moved out and it closed down, it was
Mr. Johnson's owned that lot, and he built it for E.E. Up Church. Which now Up Church already had his drugstore. I believe it was across the street there by the bank.
Okay,
and. But he had this. He was the first one to use the store when he built the two-story brick that's there now.
And upstairs, I know there were some lawyers' offices up there because there's still some remains of that up there. When Tommy and Ann started remodeling that to make a downtown flat upstairs, I guess that's the proper word for an apartment over a storefront is a flat.
All right.
And a lot of the doors, he kept a lot of it original when he redid it. Did an excellent job remodeling upstairs there. And there's a lot of law books and older papers and stuff up there that was still left over from who knows when, back in the 40s, maybe late 30s.
Yeah, all of those two-story buildings had upstairs offices, and they were everything from doctors and lawyers.
I'm thinking that there may have been a doctor up there also. I think Tommy may have we'll have to ask him about that, but I think he discovered some doctor, maybe it was a dentist up there or something.
Yeah, you'll see in the old papers, they'll say Dr. So-and-so's office above Upchurch Drugs or something like that.
And, of course, there was a stairwell that went from 31 upstairs, and I think there was originally one that went from the front beside Upchurch's that went upstairs. A lot of those old upstairs buildings had street access in between those buildings and the ones next to them. And like I say, after Upchurch closed up, I remember there was a store that was in there for a little while. I'm trying to remember what they called it. Donna Mink operated it, and she started up on 6th Street with it. I want to say it was Kitty Shop?
Something like that.
I think
that.
It was Kitty Shop. I remember her bags were the red and white carnival-looking bags that she had a distinct packaging that she used. And it was real popular for newborn gifts and infant gifts up to toddlers, and she was successful with that business for several years, and she moved from where she was on 6th Street moved down into to the Upchurch building. And then not too long after that, I think Ken Messer bought the building, and they put a clothing store in there that was called Conner Fair. Am I right on that?
I think that's correct.
Conner Fair was the name of it. That kind of stayed in there till after Ken and Marianne's death, and Ann inherited that, which we're getting on down the street a little ways to Messer's, which we'll get there. We'll get there in the other end of the block, but they were down there, and so Ann and Tommy decided they were going to move that and rename the jewelry store and kind of get a fresh face and a fresh start. Still got a rich history behind them and the jewelry business, but Ken went back into jewelry business. He worked for Eddie Edwards for many years, and Marianne had the clothing store that was the fashion shop.
Right.
And then Ken decided he would venture out into the jewelry business, and they combined the jewelry business into the fashion shop, and I think it became Messer's Jewelry and the fashion shop, and then they finally just called it Messer's. Then that's what it is now, Moreland's Fine Jewelry and Gifts. In fact, interesting story, Ken, Tommy and Ann have a product that they're marketing now called the Moreland Watch, and that's where the name Moreland's came from. And Ken named that watch. He had a watch produced and called it the Moreland Watch in honor of his two grandchildren, Morgan and Lindsay. Mm-hmm. And so that's where that name stuck from, that created Moreland's Jewelry and Gifts. And they, I think Tommy and Ann, kind of reordered some of those watches and have them available now.
Wow.
So you can buy a Moreland's watch, which takes it back a ways. So that building's got a lot of rich history in it. What year do you know what year that building was built? It was probably in the early 19.
It was in, from memory, it was about 1914, 15 when it was built.
Early part of 1900s. And then coming next door to it, which is now the location for Exit Realty, which sign has Elizabeth Hall on it.
Cause right. Well, let me back up one quick second. Okay. Prior to the brick building on that corner, even further back, it was owned by Alfred Baker and was maybe a hotel storefront kind of building. It was at least his second building in town. He had another store up near the railroad.
Getting back
overhead
in the
bridge.
1800s now.
Right. So it was before that, before the bricks, it was wood frame and was one of the early hotels, I believe, in town.
Okay. But
yeah, that's right. Before anybody remembers.
Coming on next door where Exit Realty is at. And prior to that was Elizabeth Hall. After Tommy and Ann purchased that property, they made a venue in right. there for a little while. And prior to that, most of us, I don't remember if it was anything right before that, but most of us remember that as the V.J. Elmore store.
Right. One of our favorite stores to go to when we were little.
Oh, yes. I bought many a pea shooter and many a piece of candy and gum and combs and pens and toys. I do remember buying slingshots. You could buy
models. We used to build models.
The model airplanes and model cars. Goodness gracious alive. And the little wooden airplanes that you put together and put a rubber band on and wind the propeller up on it.
Right.
A buku of those kites. And tell how many kites I've bought in there. And kite string. And it was just an awesome place to go when we were a kid. We'd ride the bicycle up there and just spend all the money we had.
Right. And I don't know the exact date, but it's probably since the 30s that they've been in that location, or yeah. were in that location.
And that building also included another building that's behind what is now Marlins, or the Upchurch building that came out, had a storefront on Highway 31.
Right.
That had some a part of Elmore's in it. And if I'm remembering correctly, that was Mr. Elmore. He had several stores, and that was his store number one.
That's right. It was. And they were headquartered in Clanton for, I think, until the 50s when he moved his headquarters to Birmingham. And if I'm remembering correctly, he got hit by a car or truck up there a few years after he moved up there, and that's when he passed away, was in the 50s.
Well, many hours spent in Elmore's and bought a mini pea shooter in there. I was thinking about that the other day. It wasn't nothing but a straw and a bag of peas.
That's right.
And they hated us when the parade would come through town because they would sell out of pea shooters.
Right.
Oh, we were mean little youngins back then. We might as well come on up that side of the street because we're going to run out of time, probably about the time we get to the alley. So let's see if we can come on up that street a little ways.
Next was the drugstore again, right? Wasn't that the old Allred's?
Well, I'm not sure about Allred's. I remember we had Wright Drug, but that was on up where Main Street's at now, correct? So I remember the furthest back I remember that building was Edwards Jewelry, and I don't know when Eddie Edwards started the jewelry store in there.
Yeah, those blur together, but there was in the early days, Allred's store
was there
drug
before,
was right there
before we
on this side of the alley.
Yeah, before and we then, moved across the street down to the other end of the block. Okay,
and then I don't know where the I'm losing track of how many stores were in between there.
Well,
then there's the two story on the alley.
Well, you've got one other little building which is now part of Cedar and Bloom. Mm-hmm. Which in my infancy was a barbershop.
Right,
it
right.
It was Red Wagner's Barbershop because that's where I got my first haircut.
And it's one of the oldest barbershops in town.
And it was a barbershop up until just recently. I don't know if there's ever been anything other than a barbershop up until the Mallisons purchased that property.
Probably not recently. Because there's advertisements for that barbershop going way
I know
back.
Red Wagner was there for many, many years, and then the latest was Crystal's Barbershop, which is now out on Lake Am Road. You had Edwards Jeweler, which you said you think was originally Allred's.
And that actually may be the spot that Wright's first came from. Wright's was in Thorsby, and when it burned, he moved to Clanton.
Oh.
And it may be his first spot.
It could be. Then if it was, he moved down the street. Because right. I remember him being where the next building, which is the Two Share on the Corner, which is now Main Street Cafe.
Right.
I remember right. Wright's being there. And I know Wright's was there and Edwards was there simultaneously. Right. So, but that's getting back before my time because as far as I can remember back, Edwards was there, I guess. Mm-hmm. And that takes it back into, you know, my early memories of mid-50s. So,
That big two-story was, I'm not sure when it was built or who moved in there first, but it was various things. It was some grocery stores and it was some other places. It was, there was a man that ran some businesses in town called Landy. And it was his store for a long time. And then, I'm trying to think what came next, but I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah. And prior to, of course, Main Street Cafe's there now. Prior to that, right. it's been a dress store. It's been another restaurant. It was, something Western Grill. What was the name of that? It's the same folks that have the one down across from the old Dairy Light there in the old Pizza Hut building now. Some of those people were involved in that business. Upstairs was a winery of some type at one time, wasn't it?
I don't know.
I think they had something
I'm not sure on that.
Up there. A lot of rich history in the buildings downtown, you know, Wright's.
It was called Thrifty Stores for a long time in the mid, like the 50s, I believe. Isn't that the one that had a big sign on the front that said Thrifty?
It could have been. That would have been before Wright's moved into mm-hmm. it. Or was that may have been on the other side of Chicago Sales where the bargain store was at. That may have been the Thrifty store. We're going to have to find some folks that's older than we are, and there's not a whole lot of them around.
Well,
to correct us on that. Your dad probably could tell
yeah,
us.
Yeah, he could. And I mean, I can get I see a lot of these in old pictures or old postcards.
Yeah.
But once, if I'm not looking right at it, exactly where they were tends to blur a little bit.
Oh, yeah. And I remember we were talking about Wright's. I remember as a teenager, back in the time that I was a teenager, everybody wanted one of the Christmas gifts you always wanted mm-hmm. was the chemistry set. Sears catalog had now they had like a little simple one, then they had the big one in the metal case that folded out that had all the test tubes and beakers and various chemicals. And so I was going to be a scientist and a chemist, and we found out that Mr. Wright would sell us test tubes, and we bought several of us down our neighborhood. We would go buy because he stocked test tubes, and that's the only place in Clanton you could get them. Now you could go to the hobby store and Homewood right in the curve up there.
That's right.
And get them, but the only place you could get them anywhere near Clanton.
That was quite a trip to go to Homewood in those days before the interstate.
Oh, yeah.
That far.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff there. Jack's Hamburgers. I remember getting my first Jack's Hamburgers for 15 cents right there in Homewood.
That's store number one.
And the hobby store, they had bicycles and all kind of bicycle parts and model airplanes and model car. We thought we talked about the models at VJ Elmore, but that store, they had 10 times the models that Elmore's had. But anyway, yeah, a lot of interesting stuff. Well, Derek, we have done it again. We made it.
That's right.
We made it half a block up one side of the street and a block from alley to alley up the other side. So part three will be coming as we talk about downtown Clanton and what was there and what is there. And if you think of some stuff that we've missed, if you see myself or Derek, enlighten our memories, and we will make corrections in the next episode of our walk down Second Avenue. Thanks once again for coming in and joining us. And like I said, we've had a ball both shows, and time just flies by when you start.
It does, and I appreciate being here. Thanks.
And so we will pick up next time, probably on the corner of 31 and Second Avenue on the other side of the street, and see if we can get to that alley.
Right.
That shouldn't be too long of a journey. Then we still got to get on down through Chicago Sales and on down to the Loach Grocery.
Right. So, that's right.
So that'll be coming up in version three of our walk down Second Avenue. Thanks again, Derek, for being with us. We appreciate it so much. And to our listeners, we appreciate your time. for This Is Our Town. It airs every Friday morning at 8 o'clock and reruns on Sunday afternoons at 5 o'clock. And of course, you can always go back and listen to a previous episode, like if you missed our first episode of our walk downtown, you can go back and find it at peachtalk.live and just click on the podcast by date. And I kind of wish we had the names on there, but it's listed by date. So, but if you click, we introduce the guest first thing. So peachtalk.live will get you there. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Chris Johnson, and this has been Peach Talk. This is our town.